You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there on that on demand button, you can pick any Monday and you can download the shows from there from that date. But of course, we download it for you and we put it on all of our social medias so that you can hear each guest, and we put the bios of each of the guests and contact information so that everybody can stay in touch. And that's on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on the social medias, and then our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
Right. Sometimes I feel like our show is just one big learning classroom.
It's
like going to a school like Sita and Friends 101. But anyways, for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time to Sita and Friends, on our show on Mondays, going on almost 16 years, we sit here, my co-host Ellen O'Neill, myself, Danny runs our board, and we've got our friend Allie that's come by to cheer us on Mondays. And a little background about Allie. Her husband was one of our first guests about 15 years ago. And Allie's a friend of Ellen's. And when Allie's husband passed away, Mr. Dog, Ellen decided to bring Allie as part of our show. And so welcome and thank you, Allie. And Ellen is here. She does the website for our show and keeps me in line. I go out and market the guests for our show, and then I turn them over to Ellen. We speak to people on our show here about financial literacy, good credit, bad credit, writing a book, a lot of environmental shows. We speak with folks who are advocates for clean air, water, sunshine, maybe the homeless population. Whatever it is, we invite people to come on our show. And this is a platform for you to speak and be an advocate, knowing very well that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And of course, Ellen, today is no different. Two great guests. I've been trying for the longest while to get Andrea Revel on our show. Did I say it correct, Revel?
Yes, Andrea.
Yeah. It's a reveal. Yeah. And Andrea, it turns out, her grandmother and I were friends a long time ago, Miss Estella Graham. And I went to a breakfast where this beautiful young lady had quite a few of us at the Rockledge Garden Club, where she hosted a breakfast. And the proceeds from that breakfast went to the Estella Graham Foundation, which their mission is to help students with scholarships to go to college or help them during the school year, fill out FAFSA forms, whatever it is. And Andrea will be on the second segment. She can say a quick hello.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show. And our first segment, of course, we've got some wonderful folks in the audience on our mics here. Somaya Vanderwest is here. She's a chair landscape tour person for the conservation fair coming up here. And Jamie Snyder is a naturalist, not that in the beach kind of naturalist, in regular plants, herbs and things. I mean, that's on, yeah. Yeah. So what it is we've been trying to on the Mondays when some folks are working during the year and they can't come on a normal Monday, then we try to book them on a holiday. And of course, today is Labor Day, and I thank all listeners who are tuning in and our guests for showing up on a holiday, and Danny for running our board, and Andrea teaches during the year, so she was able to come on today. But we're going to go straight to our guest, and find out a little bit from Samaya about this wonderful tour and landscaping tour that they're having here in Melbourne. So first tell me a little bit, Samaya, about yourself and how you got involved with the landscaping tour.
Because I am terrible at keeping my plants alive. I really suck. I'm very bad. I usually kill my house plants. However, I found out in Tucson, where we lived before we moved here to Florida, that the only plants I could keep alive were the ones that were native to that particular biome. So when we moved, I decided I was going to do the same thing. I was going to attempt to keep everything alive, and so all my plants are still alive, or if they died I didn't pay attention to them, and they are thriving. And it's magical for somebody who enjoys being surrounded by nature. But my personal journey was that I'm actually a biomedical engineer by training, and I have always been in love with biology. It's a magical form of understanding the universe, and I feel most connected to the beauty of nature when I have a chance to see it up close. So I get a chance to see the plants, I get a chance to see the insects, the wildlife that come to visit.
They're your babies, right?
They're my babies.
You wake up every day and you look at the new flower, the new bud, the new whatever. And it is like children. So
I do talk to them a lot.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, Jane, you are the co-chair of the landscaping with the Florida Native Plant Tour, sponsored by the Conradina chapter of the Florida Native Plant Society. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on with your part of this.
Like with the tour?
Yes.
So specifically, I make the signs for each of the species that the homeowners have on the tour. So the signs have the Florida Native Plant Society logo, and then it has a QR code that will lead to, ideally, the Native Plant Society's page for that specific species, but not all plants are on the FNPS website. So then I find other applicable websites, like Florida Wildflower Association, or there's another website called Natives for Your Neighborhood that I like to use. But then it also lists the scientific name, the common name, and then if it's a keystone species, if it's good for pollinators, if it's a host plant for caterpillars, and if it's edible for humans.
Yeah, and we've had several shows about the bees,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, why we need them more than they need us.
Yes.
I mean, without them, you know, we can't have food, right?
And it's very interesting. People don't realize how many native species of bees exist in Florida. It's really quite remarkable. We usually have a tendency to think of just the honeybees, but in fact there are hundreds of native species, and they are really beautiful to see lumbering around your garden. There's some gorgeous carpenter bees that are just huge, and they fall out of flowers. They're really adorable. And then there are these beautiful little sweat bees that are green and iridescent. They exist. If you put out more native plants, which is what these bees were, essentially they evolved towards certain plant species, right? So if we can put out the plant species that these bees recognize, then they'll have a better chance of being able to get the pollen that they require to survive. They'll also have a better chance of finding homes for themselves. Some of these bees actually nest in the stems of leftover plants. So if you have a plant that doesn't die and is an evergreen, or it happens to be too thick and the bee doesn't know how to burrow into it, it has no home. So if you have native plants that are a little bit more species specific, you have a better chance of being able to maintain those pollinators for a longer period
of
time.
You are a plant nerd.
I'm very much
a plant nerd.
You really are a plant nerd.
I love it. So talk to us a little bit about the landscaping tour. When and where is the landscape in tow, and who came up with this?
Okay,
how many years has it been in existence?
Conradina came up with it 17 years ago. So this is our 17th annual Landscaping with Florida Natives tour. We rotate around the southern Brevard County. So our chapter covers between Rockledge and Palm Bay. So, and we go all the way to Beachside. So, for example, last year our tour was located in Palm Bay. This year we're Beachside. Specifically, we're going Melbourne Beach and Indy Atlantic. Next year we'll most likely be up north somewhere. We're never entirely sure exactly what places we choose. We have 7 houses on the tour this year. These are houses where gardeners just fell in love with natives and decided to put them in. And then in addition to that, we are teamed up with the Barrier Island Sanctuary, as well as there's a bioswale that's located near Orlando Park in Indy Atlantic that has that controls for stormwater runoff and allows us to have some really gorgeous natives that are very specific and enjoy those kind of damper conditions to flourish there.
Is it Jamie or Jane?
Jamie.
Okay. I know. So Jamie, talk to us a little bit. Why is it so important for all of us to educate ourselves on the native plants in Florida? I mean, what can you say about native plants and showcasing why people should support wildlife, why people should support these long-lived trees, why people should support ancient, unique species? There has to be an aha moment that happened with you and you said, I am going to support this.
So I came to the way of native plants through butterflies, which I think is a gateway for a lot of people to finding gardening in itself, but I think it's a good gateway to native plants. I got a book for Florida butterflies, and I started going through it, looking at what plants these butterflies wanted, because I want every single butterfly to come to my yard. And as I was going through it, it said, Florida native, Florida native, Florida native. So I was like, I guess I'm going to be a Florida native gardener now.
Yeah.
And
the more you read about wildlife and the native plants, the more you want to get them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you understand the benefits. Because it helps the environment. It helps Mother Earth.
Yes. And I see how the water in my yard doesn't stick around. Compared to my neighbor's yard, they'll have their ditch, which is connected to my yard. Like, there's no barrier. But their ditch will have water for 3 days, and my ditch won't, because most of the water doesn't go to the ditch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's absorbed.
Mm-hmm. And I also have, like, 8 rain barrels.
Yes.
Yeah. And Sumaya, talk to us a little bit about the native plants, right? Because the native plants were here on planet Earth before we came, before settlers came, right?
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know that, because people uproot them to plant roses with thorns, of course, and other plants. And these native plants, they thrive in different types of soil, different types of climate. And you being a plant nerd, you know all about this. So talk to us a little bit about the native plants and of course, all the caterpillars and things that go with this.
Right. So we actually, in Florida, people have a tendency to think that we're just one big flatland. And I understand if you're coming from other parts of the United States where there's more elevation changes, it's a little easier to see that you're in a place that's, you know, it's got mountains versus being in the valley, right? There's a distinction. But if you are in Florida, a lot of people don't see that distinction. However, Florida is actually broken up into over 8 separate types of environmental systems, right? We've got coastal, we've got coastal hammocks, we've got sandhill brush areas, we have got pine hill brush areas. There's just a lot of these different styles of water, fire, elevation, soil type, moisture. I mean, there's just, when you consider all of these different aspects to the environment, you actually realize how diverse the species are that are in Florida. So yes, a lot of people have a tendency to uproot whatever plants were here for millennia in order to put in the things that they're more familiar with, which are often species that do better in the north or more northern states. But there's nobody saying that you can't do that. How about instead you put in your rose bush, but then you also put in supporting native plants, because those native plants will bring in your pollinators. They will bring in all of that beauty. They will help nurture the soil. They will reduce your stormwater. One really cool thing about native plants that people don't realize, they don't require any fertilization. They don't require any irrigation. They require very, very little maintenance. Most of the maintenance is just cutting back things that are getting too happy. That's a terrible thing to have to do, apparently.
Right, and native plants are also the only plants native caterpillars can eat, which are the primary food source for baby birds and other wildlife. What an education we're getting on Viewpoint with Seed and Friends, because you wake up and you hear these birds chirping and you say, thank God for another day on your magnificent planet. Mm-hmm. I can breathe. But so many things happen in order for you to take in that deep breath of oxygen.
Yes.
Right? And people don't know it. So talk to us a little bit about that and the caterpillars.
So the caterpillars, it's a very special system. So there's a great entomologist named Doug Tallamy, and he's actually based out of the University of Delaware. And he did his research looking into why certain areas had more birdsong and why certain areas had certain insects. And he noticed that if you had native plants, they often would have more caterpillars on them, which would lead to more birds in that particular location. So, for example, one single oak tree can support over 500 different species of insects and wildlife in its lifetime. One oak tree.
And the oak tree also stores over 10,000 gallons of water.
Yes.
And which people don't think about. You see these in Lake Washington, we have a lot of oak trees. It's mm-hmm. very beautiful out there. And I find as I get older, I'm like, why am I becoming a lover of trees? Because I'll walk down and I'll see this gorgeous tree and the branches are all so unique.
Yes.
And I'll take a picture and send it to someone that I know who likes trees. And she's like, oh my God, what a beauty. But there's such history behind these trees.
There really is. And so if you can plant a single oak tree, you will end up with those birds. You will be ending up with cleaner air, cleaner water. And they'll
be able to... They retain a lot of water in that they don't, it doesn't run off into the Indian River Lagoon
exactly.
as well, like she was saying about her yard. Now, tell me, why is it a lot of people in so many communities don't get involved in what's in their yard or in their community? I mean, why, you know, like, for example, children are walking to school or people are dropping their kids off in a school line, you know, in school, in the car line, in the loop, and there are trees all around them. Someone has taken the time. But some folks just don't think that I'm going to take a picture of that and let me go home and research. It's there for a reason. Normally, people put these things there, right? So why do you think people are not involved? I mean, we don't have to be a plant nerd or a tree nerd or environmental nerd to learn about our environment. And I'll ask that to Jamie.
I think people don't have the time.
Yeah, but look at us. We're here on Labor Day making the time, right? Mm-hmm. I think as you get older, bolder, and wiser on planet Earth, and you realize that you've spent more time on the Earth than you have left, I think you have to make the time. You make the time for what's important and what's more important than our environment, right? And so this is why you're having the tour. So talk to us about what to expect on the tours and what houses we're going to be seeing. You take that, Cheyenne.
So we will be seeing, like I said, there are seven houses beachside, and we will have a chance to see all sorts of very unique plant species. In fact, one single beachside house has over 250 Jamie has a better idea of the actual numbers here.
The number that has been turned into me is 190.
Okay, sorry. Only 190 different species of plants, right? This is not different plants. There's 190 species, which means you can have 50 or 100 of a particular wildflower. So that is impressive. And we're not talking giant yards. We're talking maybe a quarter of an acre, maybe not even, maybe even a little smaller than that. But you can support a lot of different species because they're very seasonal. So we host our tour on November 8th. It will be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can learn more about it at brevardlandscapetour.org. And the tour itself gives you a chance to really get up close and personal, see what these plants look like when they're small, see what the plants look like when they're larger, see what they look like when they're tons of them, right? Because one of the downsides of going to a nursery is you might not necessarily see a plant at its very best, or you're seeing it look phenomenal because it's surrounded by 50 of the same other thing. So if you go to on these landscape tours, you get a chance to really see what it looks like if it is melded in with other native plants or even non-native plants.
Right. Right. And the tickets, the ticket brochures are $15 per person online.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes all the map and all the sites, a full description of each site and the plant list of each site. But here's the thing. Are people going to go on a bus or are they going to travel and follow each other? How do you get to the sites?
Fortunately, you can pick which ones you go to.
Okay.
There's no specific
So it's not like you're on a bus singing plain songs.
No, you're not getting to see. All right. That would be very special. We have this year an artist, a plein air artist, who will be at every site. So you can see them creating art that involves native plants or native wildlife. In addition to that, with your ticket, you receive a zine for a scavenger hunt, and you also receive a free plant. So it's a free native plant. They will be picked up at Orlando Park. So you can drive to one site. You can drive to none of them. You can just get your plant if you'd prefer. But in order to help people understand how important native plants are in order to support wildlife, we are actually also hosting a conservation fair. And this conservation fair includes local businesses, artists, and more importantly, a bunch of nonprofits. So we'll be inviting in nonprofits, and everybody will have a chance to have a booth. It is free and open to the public, so please do feel free to come. Same hours, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's also at Orlando Park in Indian Atlantic.
Right, and you know, one of the things that I think as we get older, we get a little bit more spiritual. I find, like, I prefer to walk bare feet and feel the earth, right? Because Mother Earth is a living home that sustains all of our lives. And our future really, really depends on how we take care of Mother Earth. And you're Indian, like I am, Shama. And you know, we all know that story about Hanuman with the mountain.
Yes.
And that herb. And it's like etched in everybody's memory how important it is, these little herbs, these little trees, right? And sometimes you take a ride around on a boat on the coastal communities and you see the coastal and ornamental beauties. Talk to us a little bit about the native plants that are so suited for the coastal areas, because you're on these boats and you're driving by and you see that, and you're like, wow, that's so. But somebody thought about that.
Yes, they did. So, everybody has heard of the mangroves, and we know, of course, that the mangroves are extremely important, but we don't really think about other plants that do very well. There's a gorgeous sunflower that's native called the dune sunflower. It has beautiful little yellow flowers, and it's very profuse. It grows very easily. It's very well adapted to Florida climes. Then you've got other plants such as railroad vine, which have these beautiful fuchsia to pale lavender flowers. They, however, are an extremely happy plant, so they will grow about 20 feet in one season. So you do kind of have to be on top of that plant a little bit more, unless you have a lot of area, in which case plant that sucker and let it go crazy. But there are a number of different plants, and we think of mostly just the mangroves. We think of the palm trees. We don't realize that there are tons of shrubs. There's gorgeous wildflowers. There's beautiful grasses that are all native. Muley grass is a
and
great
mind
example.
You, they're going to outlive all of us.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully
like
they will.
Like, for example, the long-lived trees I read where certain native trees, like the balls, cypress tree, can live mm-hmm. for hundreds of a thousand years. And these trees provide shade and vertical accents in landscaping. And then you look sometime on social media, you'll see in India, there's a certain tree. I'm not sure if it's a banyan tree or other trees.
Yes.
Where the children don't have desks. They don't have a school with walls.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have running water on a toilet. But these children are under the tree with one teacher and the most beautiful shade, and they're sitting on the dirt, and they're learning math and arithmetic and everything else under that tree. So, Jamie, talk to us a little bit about the long-lived trees and the shade that they give. Do you have any idea about it, or you want our good friend to take it here? Are you... Well,
not
anybody
prepared.
Could talk about it. anybody, you could take that one.
So, we want to have trees, right, because they are a very nice, higher-level canopy. But you can also get a tree that is not necessarily 60 feet tall, but only 40 feet tall or 20 feet tall, and that will also provide shade. So we can cover your environment and create temperatures that are more reasonable for wildlife as well as for ourselves to exist in, without a lot of work, by just planting a few trees. And there is plenty of data that supports how beneficial it can be to simply exist underneath a tree for 15 minutes at a time, right? So take that even further. Take that one step further and say...
You can't have wedding pictures without trees either. I mean, you know, when you think about it, right? Everybody... they want to go to these sites it's so beautiful.
And yeah. I remember, too, I mean, just from a functionality standpoint, when my house was built, my first house that was built, they put two Australian pines
mm-hmm.
right at the corner of the house. Well, one of the hurricanes, they got wiped out.
Yes.
So I cut the tree down, which is what you think that you should do. But unfortunately, that tree was pulling out all of the water. Much to Jamie's point,
mm-hmm.
Pulling out all the water. So when I cut that down, the side of my house sunk.
Yes.
And I had to get the foundation built back up again.
Right.
Because of the rotting, you know. So you really have to, you know, when you say things like, while this tree is protected or this area is protected or something, everything really should be protected because, you know, some of the things that I've learned based, you know, kind of because we've had a few folks on the show about native plants before. A few things that I remember now is that everything has a function
mm-hmm.
and everything has a purpose and a reason. So much like what you're talking about with etymology and the, you know, if you don't want mosquitoes, there's a certain plant you can plant to detract mosquitoes.
That doesn't always work in Florida.
Well, it does. It does a lot if you pay attention
to
location.
It can help. Sure.
Right.
It certainly, because I know those no-see-ems will get you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, if you need information, you could always go to the Florida Native Plant page. Give us the website and your Facebook page.
Okay. So our website for our state organization is www.fnps.org. And from there, you can search and find the Conradina website.
Yeah.
And then our social media page is officially
Conradina Chapter. It's either for or of the Florida Native Plants.
Yeah, and tell us the Conradina. I mean, I don't know why. I just, when I saw that this morning, I'm like, I have to ask him how they got that name. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you told us.
Yeah, so Conradina is actually a native genus of wildflowers. And what's really cool is the Conradinas are actually very endemic to Florida. There's a number of them that are endemic to Florida. Some of them are, So now I use the word endemic because it means that they're located nowhere else in the world except for very, very small parts of Florida. And one of the things that the Native Plant Society is trying to do is to protect those areas, but then also to track the genes that are within each of the flowers or within each of the plants in that little area. Because one of the downsides is if you keep on shrinking the natural areas, you end up with more and more cross-contamination genetically, right? You don't end up with genetic lines that can cross with each other. You end up with one genetic line that ends up essentially creating a mess inside of these plants. They can get bad enough that you can lose the plant, but it can have a massive effect on the insects. It can have massive effect on the wildlife and the birds. So
for listeners who are tuning in, that is the voice of Shoma, see if I get this right, Shivaram Vanderwist.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the chair and landscape tour and conversation person to contact if you want to get your tickets. And we also have Jamie Snyder. Jamie runs the Facebook page, and she also helps with the landscaping tour. But before we go off air, I mean, as we get older, right, we want to leave such a legacy behind for the next generation. And we want to tell people why we must protect Mother Earth. And it's almost like life support, right, for the soil, the plants, the water. They provide such essential elements needed for human survival.
Mm-hmm.
And you often wonder why, when we hear of so many things that happens to Mother Earth, like wars and things like that, I know my heart breaks because I think of the Earth and it is our mother, because that's how we were raised to think that it's Mother Earth. And what about, talk a little bit, if you can, about the shared future for humanity, and the need for us to thrive and be just understand that nature and why it's good for human survival to protect Mother Earth.
So these plants exist in this area for a reason. And that reason has a lot to do with climate. It also has a lot to do with the soil, and it has a lot to do with our influence. So if we choose and make choices towards protecting and enabling various types of wildlife or pollinators or plants, you'll end up with a healthier system around you, one that's more robust and more capable of withstanding the devastation that unfortunately humans have a tendency to create.
Right, and you're protecting the Earth for future generations as well.
Yes.
Right, because that's our goal in life, right, is to leave a better future behind for the next generation.
Exactly.
And it starts with all of us. And before we go off air, I don't know if Jamie can answer this or Cheyenne, you can. Why should people be interested in attending this event? What will they get out of it in 30 seconds, if you can tell us?
Inspiration and ideas of what you're going to do to your yard.
And what about you?
I would say that you get a chance to see beauty, and you also get a chance to see a lot of crazy plant people.
Yeah.
Plant nerds, right?
Plant nerds unite.
Awesome.
And do you all meet monthly or something? Are there meetings? Because, you know, like if you're a beginner and you want to learn, like I know when we have hurricanes, sometimes we would have a tree in our yard that was devastated, but there's still a root.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband says, let's give it about 3 or 4 weeks, because if I see one speck of green, I'll keep it. And he's an environmentalist as well. Mm-hmm. He's a vegetarian and all this stuff. And he refuses to break a branch. Even when people complain that when they come into a yard or the branches and the trees are hitting their cars, he goes, tell them to drive somewhere else. But I'm like, you can't do that. Mango branches hitting people's trees. Mangoes hitting people's cars. Come on. But he just feels like the plants are also living things.
Yes.
And you can't just go and cut it off harshly like that. You have to talk to the plant and tell them what you're doing before you cut them off.
It is a good idea to always talk to your plants. If you'd like to sing to them and you have a singing voice, feel free to do so. Plants have been proven to do better with music. But just in general, you were talking about how if there's a devastation of some sort of traumatic event, we often have to give our plants a chance to recover. Honestly, we joke that this year the theme for our tour should have been the year of the freeze, because the reason why we want to really showcase our plants this year is a number of us lost very few plants, right? Or if we lost a few plants, we did not lose the entire species. Very few of us have had massive devastation in our yard. In fact, in my own personal yard, I have lost one tree, and it is my non-native tree.
Shama, the plant nerd. Oh my God, yes. I love it. You should have t-shirts. I mean, you know so much about plants that it's, you make me want to learn more, and I'm sure my listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends would want to learn more. I'd love to have you come back another time too, because I do believe that the education that you're giving us here, a lot of people don't get it from their family, their friends, their neighbors. They drive through beautiful gated communities and look at the plants, but nobody thinks about the plants itself. Yes. And I think it's wonderful that you do.
Thank you.
So give us the website one more time where they can get their tickets and get on board for the tour, which is, when is the tour again?
November 8th, which mm-hmm. is a Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And like we said, it is, you get to choose your own adventure. And one thing I'd like to point out is, if you are a beginner, if you are at all interested in native wildlife or native plants, please feel free to come to our meetings. So Conradina meets the second Monday from 6 p.m. to about 8 or so. Snacks start at 5:30.
Where at?
And we are at the Church of Nazarene, which is located off of Babcock.
Yeah. Do you have curry chicken and rice? Chicken tikka masala, my favorite.
Sometimes.
You gotta do a potluck.
I know.
Well, we need to get to our next guest. Yes. And thank you so much for teaching us so much about native plants. We're going to take a quick minute and listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Thank you so
much. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9. Mattress and Furniture.
The Matthew Eric Foundation Academy, open 4 days a week from 9:30 to 2:30. They offer academic support to homeschoolers and their families. In addition to providing support and tutoring to students, they also provide consulting and mentoring to parents who are seeking advice and information on their school choice options. They are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and donations are always accepted and welcomed. Please visit www.MatthewEric.com. That's www.MatthewEric.com for more information.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Choctaw Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Choctaw Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff.com. Call the professionals at Choctaw Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Our first segment was so wonderful, learning all about the native plants here in Florida. Our second segment on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet is going to be with my good friend Andrea Ravel, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about the Estella Graham Foundation. Right, Ellen? And
yes, she's so excited.
And she's heard worldwide.
Yes, absolutely. Well, welcome to the show. It's so exciting to have you and talk about this great program you have going on.
Thank you. Thank you. So happy to be here.
Right. And you are the executive director of the Estella Graham Foundation. In addition to doing so many other things, you're giving back to help students overcome financial barriers and pursue higher education. How wonderful. Talk to us. Why did you get involved in this particular nonprofit?
I got involved with it for a few reasons. Like my grandmother, who the foundation is named after, was a great motivation. She always said, you know, to make sure that you do something, you know, to try to provide and everything. So to find a way, you don't necessarily have to go to college. You can go to a trade school or you can go to the military, but what is something so you can progress and learn in some type of form or fashion, because you're always learning. So that was one thing, and the main thing. Another was because I'm actually in human resources. So I see people that have all this experience and they're just missing this one thing. I'm like, if you had this one certification or if you had this one degree, like, you could have had it. But people, you know, aren't aware. And so just making people aware of the things that's out there, the things that they need and how to go about getting them.
Well, you know, General Colin Powell, before he passed away, said there was one thing that helps our students. It's guidance. Mm-hmm. And so you're offering guidance. You're also a veteran.
I am.
And you're a counselor.
Not a
No. So where did I read something that I was trying to figure out? You're a veteran, an HR professional.
Yes.
HR professional.
Certified HR professional. That's right. And credit counselor.
Credit counselor. Yeah. Not a regular counselor.
No, credit. Yeah, counselor. There you go. That's what it is. Credit. Yeah. It's the credit. That's yeah. What I was like. Hold on.
Because, you know, we do so many shows. We do so many shows with people who are social workers and uh-huh. mental health counselors, which yeah. God knows we need those too. A credit counselor. That's interesting. So are you teaching them how bad credit, good credit, if you want to buy a house 20% down, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, and that all plays
That's
into...
guidance, girl.
Yeah. That all plays into a part of, you know, your profession and what you're able, you know, to do. Because I don't think people realize how much credit is affected into everything, like even your insurance rates, right? Like,
yeah.
So everything. It's like every, like your credit... You know, bad or something.
Well, I have friends who wouldn't date somebody with bad credit
mm-hmm.
because bad credit means you're not disciplined. Something's wrong. Mm-hmm. If you have a credit card with a high bill and you can't pay it off, you're going to inherit that too. Mm-hmm. So people are very careful about bad credit.
Yeah. I mean, it could be the discipline part, or it could be like just not knowing, like being in a better financial position as well. Like they can... They're responsible, however, because, you know, the economy and everything else, like, how am I managing everything with inflation? Like,
yeah.
But yeah. Financial literacy is a huge thing that we promote all the time here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, because
I know a lot of executives
that make three figures and still don't have money at the end. You know, they still live paycheck to paycheck because of all of the loans and student loans and all kinds of things that people
spending.
Get themselves into. Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest. Don't hide your hat where you can't reach it.
That's right.
That's true.
So what are some of the other topics that from life skill opportunities are you able to give to as resources to people?
Additional ones are basically like educational fields, like which ones are dependent on the county, some more so than others, like IT, which is information technology, nursing. Those are always going to be something that's needed on a continuous basis. But then there's other things in additional to it, like program management. So people don't realize, like, sometimes you're doing program management more than you realize. And so that's something that you can actually, you know, make a career off. And then they have PMP certifications and things to help you with that as well. And, other educational resources is, like, with the FAFSA.
FAFSA. I get it.
That always trips me up.
Yeah, I say FATSA, and then I go FAFSA.
Yeah.
Right. So your mom is your biggest cheerleader. And it is so beautiful to watch you and her together. She's a gorgeous lady. But in the last 3 years, from what I read, and I hope my memory is correct, you guys gave out over $5,000 with the Estella Graham Foundation?
Yes.
So tell us about the referrals you had the breakfast last time I came.
Yes.
So talk to us a little bit of the mission statement for the Estella Graham Foundation. And how do you get your referrals, and you know, which children are applying for all these scholarships?
Sure. So, hold on, repeat that one more time, because
the mission statement.
Okay, and then how we get
and then and you guys gave out $5,000, and you have to have a referral source.
Yeah. So, so the mission statement is to basically help people, you know, continue their education, bridging the financial gap with those who are trying to continue education. So whether it's college, whether it's trade schools, whether it's vocational. So, and with that, it's not just high school students, it's young adults as well. Well, not just young adults, but any adult of any age, as long as they meet the qualifications. And so to start this off, to get funding for this initially, like, I just reached out to friends, and I'm like, you guys know me, you know my heart, this is what I want to do, this is my vision, my dream. And so I had a lot of family members and friends start off with supporting and helping me get that out there, along with some of my own funds. And then, you know, go to a whole bunch of some community events as well to get the word out. We have the Education Breakfast, which we have annually in February, and we're looking to start up new and additional things. Like, we want to start tours to colleges and trade schools for those who don't have the, you know, opportunity or transportation to do it themselves.
Yeah, and you'll get people to drive them.
Yeah,
or maybe hire a bus. But and your referrals, you get it only from high schools or just people that attend a breakfast or and say, hey, I know someone.
So on Facebook, I try to post it and advertise it through word of mouth at the community events, too. I have the flyers and posters in reference to it. I've had it announced at churches. Anybody I know, like, you know somebody.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know somebody.
We do the same thing for our show. I mean, this is why we say our show is fun, it's educational, it's unscripted, and it's very interesting, because we do the exact same thing. We go out and we market the show so we can get clients who want to come on, guests who want to come on and talk about what they're doing to make Brevard County a better place, or the United States a better country, or around the world we have people that call into. So I understand that. But what would you say, what is your main source of funding for the Estella Graham Foundation?
The main source of funding has been the community. The community itself, like, has been a great help. The support that we've received from just churches and just people in the community coming out to support, giving donations at the community events that we're at, raffles that we have as well. So those, like the events that we have been a great source of the funding. So I'm definitely appreciative of the community.
Right. And are there volunteer opportunities? You know, here in Brevard, there's so many nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everyone's time is needed somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And you also need volunteers for the Estella Graham Foundation. So tell us how someone could get in contact with you and become part of the foundation.
Yes. So on our website, the EstellaGrahamFoundation.com, you can reach out to us there if you're interested in volunteering or if you would like to contribute as well with donations, and through our email at EstellaGrahamFoundation@gmail.com.
Yeah. And, you know, there's so many nonprofits that are giving out scholarships, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends why the Estella Graham Foundation is the one for them to pick to help.
Oh, yeah. So because we have a broader candidacy pool, for one, and part of our scholarship application process, one of the questions on there is, and one of the criteria is trying to see what you've done to the community. So we're trying to give back. We want people to continue to give back so it'll continue to pay forward. So I think that's a reason why, along with that, it's just not limited to a specific age group.
Right. And like they spoke about the plan, the tour, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Native American. Would that be something that in the future you can consider as well, to get a group of people to attend one of those?
To attend one of the
fairs or their tours?
What do you mean?
Like to attend, to get a couple of tickets.
Oh.
Education. About.
And because, when you think about the students, right,
mm-hmm.
it's like an all-rounder. You're not just thinking about the academic part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But you could think about the other aspects of life and teach them what they were talking about, that you have a home and here are some plants and what it does with the roots of the plants and what happens when there's a hurricane and what happens when you wake up and you could breathe. I mean, all those things, it's kind of like it's a community effect, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And one nonprofit helps the other.
Right, right. Yeah, that's definitely something that we could.
yeah, it's something that you could consider.
Yeah.
Because we've been on our show, I think Ellen and I have hooked up so many nonprofits
uh-huh.
that we were able to get a film made on Green Gables.
Because, two, actually.
Yeah, it was just like this. Awesome. The people came on. And they started listening to each other. And before you know it, there was a partnership formed. And next thing you know, there's a film director out there filming about Green Gables. And there's a red carpet event here in Melbourne. And we got credits like the first slide. They said, congrats, you know, the acknowledgement to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. So I'd like to see, because I know that a lot of the underserved communities, a lot of the children who are raised by grandparents
mm-hmm.
They're raised by foster parents and what, they don't have access to things like the Florida Native Plant Society or mm-hmm. the Audubon Society. They don't, because they're so busy just trying to survive.
Yeah.
Right? And you've probably seen that yourself.
Yeah, I have. And then that's the other thing along with that as well. A lot of people don't realize that trades are also like an option. So people are looking like, oh, well, these trades make a lot of money,
yeah.
like more money than people realize. So everybody's like, oh, I have to go to college. No, you don't just have to go to college.
Well,
there's other options like
and
that.
And you could partner up with businesses who want students as interns, right? Because I know back in where I was born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago and the Caribbean, if you have a child that's not excelling in academics, their grandparents, their family, the community comes together and say, well, so-and-so has a welding shop.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so-and-so's son is not doing very well in school. It's kind of, they have to waste money on taxi fare and books and uniform. Why not send him to learn to weld?
Right.
And he becomes an A-class welder
mm-hmm.
or someone has an air-conditioned refrigeration business and you have someone in the village who's failing, and the minute he turns 13 or 14, he's dropped off to learn the ick. And trust me, my brother was one of those mm-hmm. who could not, they say, oh, he can't take books. In mm-hmm. other words, he couldn't make it, you know, in school with A's and B's with academics, but he has a top-notch air conditioning and refrigeration business that he passed on to his son. That's, so you're right. You know? So tell us, listeners, a little bit about your grandmother. What can you tell us about Estella Graham and her inspiration for you to open this nonprofit?
Oh, gosh. She was great. She always told us to, you know, to make sure, I don't care if it's $5. If you, every paycheck, you put $5 aside for emergencies or education, like, just put it away. So she was always an advocate for saving, for furthering her education. She was a nurse. She also had an assisted living facility in her home, so she learned how to run her own business. She also owned a thrift shop as well. And then she liked to give back. She taught CPR here in the community. She was big in the church, Zion Orthodox. She
turned her passion into profit.
Yeah.
That's what. And Ellen taught me to do that too. She said, you like to talk, don't lose your stream of income. Just do the radio show and keep being a nurse as well. Mm-hmm. And I do. So she works me to death, you know. but what's in the future for the Estella Graham Foundation? And do you have any events coming up that you can share with our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends?
So for the future, in February, that's way in the future, but in February, we will be having the breakfast. As I said, we're trying to get more interest. It's difficult to get people to show interest in continuing their education right now. I'm not sure what the issue is. I'm trying to figure it out. But continue the education right now. So for the tours, that's what we're trying to do. So it's hard to get a lot of people to get interested in the tours, but that's one pusher that we're pushing for to definitely have in the summertime. And I'm looking at partnering with them. I'm looking like, so... You know,
even if you learn from the environment,
right? Myself,
at the breakfast, give a 10-minute speech.
Yeah, because girl. I'm like, that's part of helping the community as well. Right. You know, the environment, yeah. So it is important.
So if you met some parents in an elevator and you had to give them a 30-second speech about the Estella Graham Foundation and why they should support your nonprofit, take it away. Tell them. Pretend you're talking to somebody in an elevator. Say, "Hi, my name is Andrea, and guess what I do?" That's what I do.
That you should participate with and support the Estella Graham Foundation will help give you education for your children now so they can be prepared later. And of course, provide resources and financial support where we can as they're applicable.
And we're looking at you, and you're just a perfect girl. Who was your role model?
My mother and my grandmother. when I tell you, I look up to both of them so much. And my mother would say all the time, "You act just like your grandmother." But then a lot of people are like, "You just like your mother." So I'm like, to me, it's an honor.
And my kids think I was the Wicked Witch of the West because I believed in spanking. Of course, I don't spank anybody now, and I won't now. But, I mean, I think sometimes it was needed back then. And like you're saying, you're looking at society now and why kids don't want to learn and do things. And you're like, what are we lacking? You know, it's like discipline is important. Organizational skills is important. Mm-hmm. Listening to the people that came before you is important. And sitting down with grandparents and aunties and uncles and hearing their stories from the past, it shapes your future. It makes you a better person. Wouldn't you agree?
It does.
So we need to figure out how to turn that all into that instant gratification thing that we all struggle with.
And get off mm-hmm. social
people
media.
They want to plant a plant in the ground and they want it to bear fruit.
Right.
Like, in 2 seconds, right? And you want to go to school, but it takes you a few months to mm-hmm. get the certification, and it takes the time. But that investment in time certainly bears the fruit in all cases, right? And bears mm-hmm. the fruit in your education, bears the fruit in your paycheck, mm-hmm. because you'll make more money because people see that you're doing more things. So
it goes back to my mother, what she always said, you have to creep before you walk.
That's right.
Yeah. Nothing comes instantly, right? You work for what you want. And I think a lot of people nowadays, they want other people to do the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. You've got to do it for yourself. Wake up every day and give the world 100% of who you are, and the world will give it back to you.
Another fantastic episode, Sita, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, all about education, educating yourself and enjoying the community that we live in. Thanks again for tuning in here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1510 WWBC, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. We will see you next week.
Did we get it in?